Being on Sunday night to me is a very refreshing, very important thing that every one of us need to really grab a hold of, because when we talk about the cross, when we talk about all that God has done through Christ and the shed blood, it's amazing, but there's choices we have to make. And that's why I entitled this series, Preparing My Life for Wholeness. And we went through some things, and we're going to talk about freedom from hurt again. We gave you steps. We started last week with the freedom from hurt. We're going to do part two. And then when we gather back in January, we're going to do part three. And so very important of what God is saying to us. So let me just give you some things here to start off. Today, the top five addictions cost taxpayers and business $590 billion. And it's because of lost productivity and governmental assistance. That was, when I wrote that today, that was 2018 when I did the major study of this. Today we spend over $1 trillion annually due to hurt emotions. So there is no estimate of what our hurt emotions can produce disease in our bodies, physical and emotional. So hurt, emotions, we learned what emotions are, why God gave them emotions. God's emotions is towards us, and our emotions, created in the image and likeness of God, is towards him. It draws us to him in every situation that we face. So immediately, we understood that emotions, we're not supposed to hide our emotions. We're not supposed to fix our emotions. But we're supposed to oversee our emotions and rule our emotions to come in line with what we know, what we've learned, that emotions are for. And that's why it's so important that Jesus, when he stated in Luke 10, verse 19, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." So there won't be a power. Your emotions will not turn around and do the opposite of what's supposed to do. Because if you're drawn to God with your emotions, there's absolute healing. There's restoration. There's peace. There's joy. All the emotions that we understand the Holy Spirit has. So again, hurt is designed by the enemy to remove you from a place to know God's heart, which in turn, receiving God's blessing in the midst of, watch what I say, heartache. Because in this world, you'll have tribulation. You will have tribulation. You'll have heartache. You'll have spiritual wickedness that would want to bring hurt to you. We will, okay, I will say I will, we will make decisions that create hurt in our life. Have you known anybody, you don't need to raise your hand, but I just want us to get into these thoughts. Have you known anybody that when you talk to them, you try to help them not to set themselves up for hurt? They are drawn into areas that bring hurt in their life. And the same things happen over and over. So in this, regarding relationships, rejection, hurtful words, and how to live a life without hurt affecting your destiny. So we find so many different, maybe I'm using the wrong, but adjectives or descriptions of what hurt is in your life and in mine. So you and I have to get to a place of recognizing how important it is that we oversee our emotions. When we do get emotional, what do they do? What do our emotions do? All right, so last couple of weeks, we began describing the steps that will free you from hurt. And if you want to be free from hurt, take up the shield of faith. We gave you the first step. Taking up the shield of faith is taking up the word of God. So the first step of recognizing the truth of your emotions is the word of God. The word will tell you what your emotions are. The word will tell you how your emotions are to respond, because they are a gift from God to help you draw closer to the Lord. And now we know we have our soul, all right? We have our spirit. We understand that, our spirit, and we're able to be in the throne room of God in our prayer time. But in that aspect, our spirit needs to rule or oversee our emotions. And remember the statement we made, no word, no faith. No faith, no shield, no shield, no quenching of the fiery darts. So the second step is that we learned last week. If you have been hurt by someone, forgive them as an act of faith, not an act of emotion. Don't wait on inspirational forgiveness. Okay? So when we talked about this last week and said forgiveness is an act of faith, we don't forgive because we feel like it. You forgive because you made a decision to forgive. It's a decision, all right? But it's a faith decision, a spiritual faith out of your spirit to forgive, and your emotions are there, and we need to realign our emotions to the Lord and grasp what his heart is towards the situation you face or the thing that you are thinking about. And don't get me wrong. Remember, even Sunday morning and even Sunday night, we're not doing this to ourselves. We're recognizing and reassuring ourselves and realigning ourselves to the right thinking of what our emotions consist of and why they are there. They are good. A lot of people, they run from their emotions. They go to a dark corner. They don't like the feeling that they have. They try to get unemotional. They all these different things. And what I'm trying to say is Scripture doesn't tell us to do that. Scripture tells us to be emotional. But our emotions need to, when things happen, when we get emotional, let it draw you to the heart of God. And of course, getting in the Word and reminding yourself of truth. So you forgive because you made a decision to forgive. Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." I'll remind us that the Father sent his Son Jesus to shed his blood for your and my sins to bring forgiveness. Colossians 3:13 says, "Bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." So you also must do. There's a lot of scripture. I don't have time to go over all that. There's scripture that talks about taking offense for other people. There's a lot of groups of people that gather together. And when they gather together, they start talking about something and then they become offended with a person that got hurt. And so they grab the hurt. And so on and on in scripture, it covers every aspect of it. So the bottom line that we've learned in this series and what Scripture says and the heart of God about giving us his emotions is let it draw you to the heart of God. And the heart of God is God's character. So forgiveness is a decision, not a feeling. Now, sometimes we have thoughts, if they would just apologize or give an explanation, then I will forgive them. And I say to you, with most people that are hurtful, don't hold your breath of them doing that. And then we get hurt even more when they don't explain or apologize. You'll hear me in March and April say things like, liars lie, cheaters cheat. And so bottom line, why are we expecting people to be something that they're not when they're walking in sin, when they're doing things? Or even ourselves. Sometimes we may do things that hurt. But because we have the heart of God, we lash out because we're hurt, but we stop and by faith make a decision, go to the Lord, and allow the Holy Spirit to bring us truth, and then we make a choice in forgiveness to ask people to forgive us. Not because they weren't wrong too, but because we're children of God. We walk in truth. And we're not perfect. That's why 1 John 1:9 is there, that we can confess our sin and God is faithful and just to forgive us of that sin. And then we're freed up from the power of that. But still, we need to align our emotions so that we would go and apologize. So we say, well, if they would just change, then I will forgive them. If they stop doing what they do, I want you to understand, people, when they live by their emotions, will continue to do what they do. And when you expect them to do different, it's almost impossible for them because, why? Their emotions are being driven away from the heart of God. So they have a difficult time to make a godly decisions and do what you do as a child of God. Okay, keep following as we walk through this. So if you could only forgive them because they changed, then you didn't forgive them. You didn't forgive them. You for, a little play on words, you foresold them. You didn't forgive them. You foresold them. If you could only forgive because they apologize or change, that is selling. There's a difference between giving and selling. People put their forgiveness up for sale. You need to do something for me before I give. Okay? God wants us to beforehand give. Give forgiveness. God so loved the world that he gave. And when he gave, what happened? Forgiveness. So if they never apologize, God holds me responsible to give them something, not sell them something. If you want me to forgive you, you got to change. No. God has asked me to forgive. Doesn't mean you hang out with them. Doesn't mean that, you know, you have to just say, oh, well, what you did, that's okay. I know that's just you. No. No, they hurt manifested. But your emotions rose up. But because you're a faith person, you made a faith decision, you felt the heart of God in the situation. And so what you did, even before anybody does anything, you forgive. You give before any response by anybody. But as you well know, as we're going to go, you understand that I'm going to get to that place where we forgive expecting nothing in return. Okay. Now that's hard when your emotions are being pulled away from the heart of God. That's easy when your emotions are pulled towards the heart of God. Because what you then do is you begin to see the pain other people have. You don't receive their pain, but you begin to see the pain that they are in. Now, the reason why I believe that 2018 I began to study this and I did some more study for this time of doing the subject is because what I see in the world, you can see a fence, and everywhere you go, you see a fence where people are offended, and they're living their lives with offense, and then they try to find groups of people that would be offended with them. And what happens is you see the evil in the world is because their emotions aligned with demonic values, not godly values. So forgiveness has nothing to do with what people do or don't do. Forgiveness, according to the Bible, is free. God forgave you first, then you changed. Let me show it to you in Scripture. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in. So, in them. So God forgave me, even though I was a mess. Once I have forgiveness, verse 10 says he turns us into a masterpiece. Once we recognize our forgiveness from God, because it's a faith decision, just like being born again. Once we recognize the truth and the power of forgiveness, then what we do is our emotions move towards God. We see the heart of God in situations, in all situations. And then what begins to take place is he begins to mold and shape us because we begin to know and understand God's heart. And then what we become is a masterpiece. And in that masterpiece, we then begin to bring healing to other people. You are a miracle waiting to happen for other people because of how you handle your emotions. Now, you've heard me talk about faith, the word. You know, we've talked about spiritual battles. We've talked about spiritual warfare, all the different subjects we've talked about. But I want you to recognize with that your emotions are so vital and important and valuable. Because with your emotions, that's how God develops a masterpiece. So you see how important your emotions are? I can't tell you how many people will come into my office or if I'm talking to them in the grocery store or whatever, they will say, now I know that I'm, wait, no, stop ridiculing your emotions, the way you feel. God gave you emotions. But what you're telling me, it's not aligned with God's character. And so what we do is we align it, and then God begins to use you because all of a sudden that passion you have to be offended now becomes a passion to bring healing in somebody's life. When someone bullies you with words and all the terminology we hear today, you know, we hear the words trigger. You know, the only thing I know of trigger is when I went hunting, you know, you watch the trigger, or the horse named Trigger. Yeah, Roy Rogers' horse named Trigger. So, you know, it's, and so, and I'm not making fun, but it's because what's happened is our youth and many people have been given a false truth. True, they're emotional, but they have aligned opposite of what their emotions truly are. Okay, so God forgave you first, then you change. God forgave me when I was a mess. Once we have his forgiveness, then we become that masterpiece. Now, let me just say a few things here. And we will never be delivered from hurt if we have all these for sale signs in our heart. Because people won't buy it. You ever know someone that, even though you're a believer and you go and you spend time with them, because a lot of people don't want to spend time with them because they're always hurt. There's something always emotionally wrong. And the reason why they are, not because they're bad people, it's because they don't understand what I'm teaching here. And so there are people, I've told the staff, there are people that they have my phone number and I text back and forth with them. And, you know, sometimes when I say this, please hear my heart. This is Sunday night, not Sunday morning. We're not, you know, online. But bottom line, sometimes I don't have time for the frivolous stuff. You know, I'm driving from being with a family that just had a loved one pass away, and then I'm driving over to a hospital. Or I'm going over, coming back to the office, I'm going to talk to someone who just explained to me they have cancer. And we're working on this. And then the frivolous, but I've made it a point early in the morning. Good morning, how you doing today? You know, different things. Because why? Because I know that where they're at emotionally is because all their life they didn't understand emotions. And I'm being their friend. Where they don't have friends. But I'm being their friend. And I've watched people like that rise up and become very special in the church. Faithful. Special. Why? Because I recognized, because in my emotions, I'm a type A personality, you know, come on, let's go, let's do it. And I have to fight because sometimes I can be, anyways, I won't go there. But the point that I'm trying to bring is when you recognize the feelings, the emotions you have, and once you start thinking something that maybe be out of line of God's word, what do you do? Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do with this? And a lot of times, he asks me to do the extra step, go the extra mile for someone. And I've watched throughout the years, these type of people that, you know, usually after a while they go to another church because no one hangs out with them and all that stuff. But man, they're real. They're called of God. They love Jesus. They just don't know how to feel. And so they say these, they do things. And I align myself up with, God, what is your heart? What is your heart? So forgive and leave the pain that hurt you. Let me make another statement. Forsailing reveals your hurt. Because you became or you have become dependent on how other people act. And what happens is then we begin to do things because we want to change how they act. And we do things out of character. So follow me now. I'm going to sound a little hard right here, but I want to say that the next thing I say is going to be so compassionate and spiritual that I'm going to break through demonic bondage that have held people back, because I know people will be listening to this. You don't need anybody to treat you a certain way to feel better. I'll say it again. You don't need anybody to treat you a certain way to feel better. Your freedom comes from within. Here it is. I am free because I forgave. I am free because I forgave you. Not I'm better because I forgave you, but I'm free. I'm free. You don't need to raise your hands, but how many of you want to be free? Yeah, yeah. So we have always based our feelings and emotions on how people treat us. Co-workers, they might whisper about you. Family members, what they say. There are people that take supplements to sleep. There are people that get gray before their time because of what other people say matters to them more than aligning your emotions with God's heart. So freedom comes because I have the shield of faith, the word. I have set my will to forgive. I'll say it again. Freedom comes because I have the shield of faith / the word of God in my heart. I have set my will to forgive. I have set my will to forgive because forgiveness is for the forgiver, not the forgivee. Forgiveness is a decision, not a feeling. Here's number three. Once you forgive, stop reliving it. Once you forgive, stop reliving why you forgave. Story of a little boy, he scraped his knee and put a Band-Aid over it. But every time someone came to the house, he tore the Band-Aid off and said, look. But every time he tore the Band-Aid off, the scab was ripped off. He'd cover it up again, remove it, cover it up, remove it, cover it up. He delayed the process of healing. Now, as believers, healing will come. But I'm trying to help all of us, and myself included, is why delay my healing when a spiritual demonic force wants to bring hurt in my life? Why delay the healing by reliving it? Okay. This is what a reliving a hurtful situation is, that you delay the process of healing. Someone asks you how your day is going. You go, oh, I'm okay. So what are they going to normally do? Why? What's going on? Well, we talk about it, right? But I want to tell you, there's power in our words. And I have learned in many instances. Now, there are times because of teaching and different things, I may talk about something of my past. But the reality, when I talk about it, I have made sure that there's wholeness in my life. Because when I'm talking to you, I'm telling you, people have done some awful things through the years. I'm 68 years old, and in those 68 years, there's sometimes through the years, some people have done awful things. And I have reacted perfect every time. No, I didn't. I reacted awful sometimes. And that delayed my wholeness in my life. So if someone asks you how your day is going, just say something like, because you've made a decision to do this. You know, sometimes things go on in my life, but praise God, I am learning and hearing the voice of God, and I'm knowing what God is saying to me in a situation. And you know, you begin, what that does is remind you of the Word of God that you read. It reminds you of what the Holy Spirit said to you, or what you heard in a message that someone brought at church, or maybe what your spouse said, you know. And so you open yourselves up to that. Stop reliving it. Here's number four. Stop making excuses. Why are you so easily hurt? Well, I'm more sensitive than others. All right, let me say that point again. Number four. Stop making excuses why you are so easily hurt. I'm more sensitive than others. Well, I'm female, and that's how God made me. Amen. Hallelujah. God made you female. God gave you female thoughts and you know, hormones and all the different things. But you got to understand, you still, those emotions are from God, and He's asked you to align it with His character. Because your female emotions are God emotions. Amen. Or, I'm so busy, no one cares. We need to stop and recognize that in the area of our life is, when things happen, don't just acquiesce to, well, this is how I'm supposed to be. How about culturally? You know it. I'm Italian. I'm white. There's a book out there called The Diary of an Angry Black Woman. You know, I'm black, and that's why I act the way I do. Well, you know, it's just their excuses. We have to get rid of them. Now, I understand there's hormonal, you know, with men. You know, men, we have the strength, and I just forgot the what's in our system more than women. But the reality is there's sometimes we got to win, victory. You know, no, you don't. You are victory. But you don't have to prove that to anybody, and you don't have to, well, you know, my daddy's bigger than you, you know, your daddy. No, it's a reality of, here's the reason we are more sensitive. Here's the reason. Very important. This is scriptural. Here's the reason why some are more sensitive. Because they are more concerned about their past than they are of their future. When you have conversations with people, now don't become a psychologist. I'm not a trained psychologist either. But this is scriptural. So you're going to notice now when you talk to people and how they talk, you're going to say, pastor was talking about people like you. Because you're going to hear their words. You know, the last few weeks, I've been around people and they say, well, you know, that just triggers me. That word, just like, it triggers me. You know, it causes me to kind of like ugh, that's awful. And why is that? Because it gives an excuse for this. And usually when you see that, what they will do is they'll bring up something of the past. What happened to them in the past. So we need to be more concerned about our future than our past. We are more sensitive to hurt because we are more concerned about our past than the future. When our focus is on our past, then our future is denied. When we're always talking about our past, our future is cut off, denied. The guy that gets hurt all the time is the guy that hasn't let the past go. Now, the guy doesn't let it go and keeps removing the Band-Aid. That's why some are more sensitive to hurt. They have allowed their life to turn into, I call, a pillar of salt. They've looked back. Okay, Philippians 3:13 says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." See, throughout Scripture, people spend thousands of dollars to hear these truths in counseling. I'm not against counseling. Some people need counseling because they need a one-on-one thing where someone can really dig deep into their hurt and then try to give them goals, if you find out in counseling, goals to reach towards, or bottom line, what Paul said, reaching towards the calling of God. What is God saying to you? Now, this scripture sounds really like, wow, this is cool. But I want you to really understand what Paul learned here. In verse 13, there are words that are italicized. Now, when you see that in the Bible and they're italicized, you see that? Those aren't in the original language. Those are added by the translators so you can understand what is being said. Okay? But verse 13, it kind of takes away from the meaning. So let me, without the italicized words, let me read to you the original language. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but one thing, forgetting those things which are behind. But one thing, forgetting those things which are behind. So Paul is saying, this is the one thing I got. Out of everything I've experienced, here's one thing I got. Forget those things which are behind. Reaching, okay, forward to those things which are ahead. Because when you go to the Lord with your emotions, as we talked about in the steps here, what the Lord will do, not only show you his heart, but he'll show you his plans. He'll show you his heart towards that person that hurt you, and he'll show you his plans for that person, but the person might not receive it. But when you see that, what you begin to see is you begin to see in your heart, in your emotions, how God feels about you. And in that process, he will remind you how special you are. See, look at Paul's past. Look what Paul did. Murdered, all kinds of things. Came against the church. He says, this one thing I got. He didn't get it because I just went through a lot and I was hurt. And it took me a couple years, but I overcame. No, he went to the Lord and he found God's heart. And when he went to the Lord and found God's heart, he said, this is one thing I got. Forgetting this thing in my past. Don't you realize it had to? Because people were afraid of him. Christians were afraid of him. It had to devastate him. Once he learned the truth and he received Christ, it devastated him what he did. So understand, this is really personal, what he's saying. This is what I got. I'm forgetting that. I did that. All this stuff in my life, I did that, but I forget it. It no longer has power in my life, and now I press towards the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. And when he did that, he wrote of the heart of God in the epistles. Wow. Yeah. I mean, that was amazing what Paul, the revelation that he got of grace, because he needed grace. See, he's not just some dude that hallelujah and started humming and all of a sudden his pen just started writing. No, he went through it. He hurt. After he was saved, he once spent time with men of God. And some of them had to work hard not to reject him because they were angry at him. Relationship, all the stuff that he went through. And he said, this is what I got. Forget the things which are behind. There is a demonic attack in your life that is to get you to hold on to your past. Rebuke it in Jesus' name. So how do you forget those things which are behind? Philippians 3:14, I already said it. I press toward the goal. What's the goal? What's the goal? Be a better employee. Got a terrible boss. Be a better employee. What's the goal? Your spouse has gone through a struggle. So you be a better spouse. Press means there will be opposition coming against you, requiring you, watch this, press forward. Press. Do it. It is emotional, but it's a spiritual decision of faith. And, yeah, I'm a guy, all right, and maybe there's personality difference in some of you ladies. But here's the reality. Press into that, ladies. Press into that. You have this unique ability to take these rough-edged boys, men, and to press into that and showing them the compassion and the love and the forgiveness of God. Press into it. Press into it. When there's opposition, press into it. And again, most opposition in your emotions is your past. You're trying to move forward while your past tries to keep you behind. So if you let your past keep you behind, you will stay with hurt and the results of what hurt brings. So Paul says, take my word for it. Forget your past by reaching for the prize of Christ Jesus. What has God asked you to do? So your future won't be any different from your past unless you forget your past. So get out of the cycle, and the last scripture I'll have, and we'll be done. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope looking towards the future. Amen. I'm going to pray over you and those listening to the podcast. I want to pray for you too. Is recognize that we all are in this together. Recognize that every one of us have God-created emotions that are good. And I'm saying, as we're learning about this and continue, get more emotional. And someone might be listening and say, don't tell my wife that. Get more emotional. But get more emotional. But the emotions that are aligned with the heart of God. Press into that. The tears, the laughter, the compassion, the love, the listening ear, the loving counsel that we can give people. Press into that because you have everything you need to succeed emotionally. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that rules this house, our homes, and our lives. Holy Spirit, anyone listening on the podcast, in Jesus' name, overwhelm them with the truths that they're listening to. There could be a transformation, a future, and a hope. Thank you, Lord. By faith, we receive that, we walk in it, and we rejoice with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.